going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, safe. That guy with me is join us for another episode of Transformers WTF Prime Time. I am joined by a couple of very special guests this evening. You might not have heard of them before, but you might have heard of their reputations. One of them is foremost Transformers Prime theoretician, Gog Dog.
Good evening.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be around like-minded individuals with no agendas.
Ah, it's wonderful. Also here with us, you may have heard of him on his Twitter account, Axsmith on Twitter. Renowned Transformers Prime historian and social study expert, Aaron.
Yes, we're actually using less elephant-grade tranquilizers now in certain places upon the forums, so I'm glad that we've been able to have a stabilizing effect.
So you're able to actually quell some of the crowds with simple communication now.
Yes. Yes, that and threats of said elephant tranquilizer.
Oh, excellent. Well, gentlemen, welcome to the show. We're here to discuss toxicity, the toxicity in our city, and then land of the... That's a System of a Down reference I did there. System of a Down. Serge Tankian, vocalist from Armenia. Steal this album. Someone out there is going to get it. This episode was the last of the simultaneous four-parter. It's the last one to have the shared symptom of starting with the letter T, as far as I know. And I think this is our last episode of Prime before a small break, if I'm catching things correctly.
Yes, there's a break. There's six threads about a break.
I heard something about a break, Aaron.
Yeah.
It was a break?
Yeah, there's a break.
How long is it?
There's going to be a break. I'm indeterminate time right now.
Oh, boy.
But I don't think the hub shows off their schedule for more than 3 or 4 weeks ahead, so it could be 3 or 4 weeks, or it could be longer.
I saw someone say, is it true there's a 15-week break?
Yeah, that's speculation.
That's elephant tranquilizers?
Yay. Yes.
Oh, goody.
It's low grade. Low grade.
Okay. This episode picks up after the previous episode's cliffhanger of Bulkhead showing up and then falling over with a burning hole in his back. So the crux of this episode, spoiler alert, is telling exactly how he came to come flying through a space bridge tunnel with a burning hole in his back. The source of that burning hole, spoiler alert, was a new named speaking Decepticon character. He is the strongest of the Insecticon hive. His name is Hardshell. He's voiced by the goddamn David Kay. And he totally has, like, insecty markings all over his body and stuff. I want to talk about Hardshell first, because he's a new character, technically. And I want to come right out and say, if that that other episode, whose name I now forgot, the one that wasn't super great with the arachnid parts, if that episode had not ended with the Insecticons all going like, we serve Megatron in a kind of banal voice, I think it would have been a billion times cooler to hear the voice of the Insecticons appear in this episode first. It still was cool. I just tried to pretend that other moment didn't happen. And we got Hardshell. Dude has history. He's a singular mind, kind of. He's talked about crushing wreckers before. He's pretty good at what he does. And I kind of enjoyed his vocal performance. I liked the markings on him, too, to kind of differentiate him a little bit. And I really liked that he didn't get killed at the end of the episode entirely. So I kind of am hoping we can see him come back. David Kay has tweeted several times, if you want Hardshell to come back, be sure to tweet Hasbro and not him, because he can't really make that decision. But I don't know. I dug Hardshell. His voice, it sounded very David Kay. It had bits of, you know, David Kay voicing that you probably could peel apart and identify. There's a whole lot of lug nut in there. He dropped a yes, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of like a yes at the start of a sentence, but it still made me smile because I there's no way that was not intentional. And I kind of dug Hardshell, even though he didn't like. He wasn't like a super deep character. I thought it was neatly disturbing, even though the moment was kind of blown, to have this Insecticon suddenly like speaking very eloquently for a creature that otherwise has just made weird high-pitched noises.
Yeah.
So I put it to you, gentlemen. What did you think of the hard shell?
I liked it. Especially with the way that he was kind of introed of Megatron walking into the hive area and being like, who's the baddest mother in here? Mm-hmm. And Hard Shell just comes down and states that he is the baddest mother in there.
Mm-hmm.
But to then go from there, it gives the, even if he's only 1% more badass, which he appears to be more experienced because a couple of the potential traps he saw and granted reacted a little bit too slowly to save his Insecticon brethren, but it looks like he's got more experience and he seems to, or at least claims to have taken down some other wreckers to give a good nemesis against Bulkhead, who is a wrecker.
That's true. Gog, how'd you feel about the hard shell?
No, he was great. I agree with you. I wish that this was the first time we had heard the speaking, because at first I'm just like, oh, they're talking again. But I'm like, I kind of like the idea that there's one kind of more intelligent leader in Insecticon, while the others just kind of grunt and follow orders. Like, he's able to lead. And yeah, he's a little savage, and he's probably not quite as intelligent as, say, the rest of the Decepticons, but he's enough to where he's definitely this sentient entity and an individual who deserves his own name. So, like, and I like that the markings on it it's so obviously just him, like, painting himself with his claws, because it's all like three slashes here, three slashes there. So it's just like he dresses himself up in this war paint, and even though he's physically, from his CGI model, indistinguishable from the rest of the Insecticons, he does something that like that because he is sentient wise above and beyond the rest. At least it appears that way, and like he kind of gives himself this marking that almost denotes that. So no, it was I liked him. So, and yeah, I wish that this was like the first time that we had heard them speak, where you just hear Hard Shell, like, instead of it just being, oh, we worship your master.
Also, David Kay delivered the Insecticon lines a little bit more incredibly awesomely than, like, dudes from whatever episode that was.
Yeah. So, I wasn't sure. Never mind. I'm not going to bring it up. So anyway, I don't. It's a path I don't want to go down.
How does Hard Shell have babies?
But I'm glad I was very pleasantly surprised too, like you said at the end, how he didn't die. And I think we all kind of knew that, because once he starts walking into the ground bridge, you know that he's going to get blasted in the back. So like the foreshadowing that we had seen, you know, two or three times now of that same scene of him flying through the bridge. As soon as the bridge opens, you knew something was going to happen. So.
Yeah,
but I'm glad Hard Shell didn't shoot him and then fall back down into the lava. So it definitely leaves his character open.
I thought it was going to be like the volcano suddenly erupting and like a gout of like magmic rock just driving into his back or something. Like I legitimately kind of bought, like, oh, because I mean David Kay had said like, yeah, it's kind of a one episode thing. I was like, right. I was totally buying that Hard Shell was gone and that something else was going to cause that horrific wound, and then. I got a little bit happy when Hard Shell, like, freaking just crawls out of there and he's all like, just shoots the dude. I was like, Hard Shell is a hard mother effer.
Yeah.
Like, he took Tox and radioactive rock, like, to the jaw and fell down a volcano and still crawled out. I was like, wow.
Yeah. And it's so obviously a good toy repaint, because if we do get an Insecticon, all they have to do is just add some crazy ass stripes to it and we have a Hard Shell. So.
Mm hmm.
And I would gladly have a Hard Shell leading an army of Insecticons.
Hell yeah. I also liked how the Insecticons played in this episode, because it felt like a really nice balance between them being, like, as strong as they were implied to be at the start, but then, like, dialing them back just enough to have, like, a leader Insecticon. Like, it felt like this was a really nice medium between the two extremes.
Yeah. I like how the Insecticons were portrayed, because... as we had seen, and what was that? It wasn't Crossfire. It was Armada. That was it.
Yeah.
Armada was the horrible episode with the horrible Insecticons. But, like, Bulkhead was one of the ones, if I remember correctly, just standing on the top of the cliff, shooting Insecticons down in every direction. And so, yet again, it's like, Bulkhead, it's like, oh, well, where's Armada Bulkhead? Because he could have just sat here and shot all you guys one shot each, and you would have been dead, and then he would have had the toxin.
Armada Bulkhead could have just eaten the toxin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it also maybe goes to show a little bit more of the, maybe the longer that the Insecticon is awake or out of stasis or whatever.
No, Aaron, stop it. Just stop it.
I'm just saying.
Stop hanging out in the Prime Forum. Jeez.
Actually, that's something I don't know if it really has shown up in the Prime Forum, but
well,
it just seems...
It should.
But oh, that was the other cool thing, too, is on the Decepticon ship, I like how they've all basically taken this room and just created a hive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Megatron basically just walks in, and there's Insecticons all over the wall. It was pretty great.
It was a nice creepy bit of imagery, too, like just the whole like giant bugs hanging out on the ceilings and walls staring at you. Like I like that when you have a hive of creatures.
Yeah, and it's like David Kaye's voice, like there's nothing is fiercer than an Insecticon hive, unless you're in the episode Armada.
The word Armada just causes things to happen in a poor way, I guess. I also really liked that, like, we got to see the Insecticons transform, like, the Insecticon model transform a bunch of times and in really nice close-up, so I have a slightly better idea of how they're supposed to work, which really helped me out, because the one thing I'd never been able to kind of connect in my head was where one head went and where the other one went, like, between their two modes, and now mm-hmm. I kind of feel like I have a much better grasp of, like, just their transforming pattern, and for some reason that's just something I need to know. Or at least feel like I have a grasp of. Otherwise, I just feel like they're doing magic transforming stuff, which they are to a degree. But the guys who put these models together have said like they do have a transforming model that they use to interstate between robot and alt mode. So I was really glad to get a better look at that. Much like we got a better look at Wheeljax in the previous episode.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to say like. That Insecticon who got the shards of toxin to the throat, that was a horrific way to go. Like, I actually felt kind of bad for the poor thing.
Yeah.
Like, sitting there choking to death on radioactive, nausea-inducing, like waste. I really hope that we can get Hardshell back for, you know, maybe next season or something, or the season after, if it's that far in development already. And I definitely hope we can get a toy form of the Insecticons so that we can at least do up our own hard shell if we have to. Because that seems like also a really easy retro label set. It's like do up a bunch of scratch markings and make them fit the toy.
Well, was he the same colors as well? I thought he was a more muted brown than all of the other Insecticons.
Now I have to go take a look. A lot of the darker scenes felt like he was a similar color, but
okay.
I admit like this is a case of the lighting messing with my head.
I'm just going off of memory and trying to pan through the episode here.
But, I well done job with Hardshell. The only thing I didn't like about Hardshell, oddly enough, was his name. But as I said before, I'm okay with a lot of name tweaks for the sake of copyright. I've never been able to get into Bombshell being turned into Hardshell. I don't know why. Like, something about the name Hardshell just I can't take seriously. Even hearing it said in this episode a few times, like when Megatron's like hard shell, I was like snickering to myself. And I know that he's kind of like, you know, a giant beetle thing, and that means he technically matches up with Bombshell to a degree, but I kind of wish he was called Shrapnel. I just think that would have been a cooler name for just the overall
just
delivery.
Just because the one
that
gets it all in the throat, isn't it?
That might be it, yeah. There's sharp things on him, too! Anyway, well done, David Kaye. Excellent entry into Transformers Prime. Hope we can see you again. You probably don't listen to this podcast, so moot point. Gog, what is another talking point you'd like to bring up?
Let's talk about Bulkhead, I guess, and as an extension, the toxin.
Yeah.
So, I liked Bulkhead in this. Like, Yeah, he was pretty good. Like, also, I'm pretty sure this was the only mission where they sent out a single Autobot, because you had Optimus
yeah.
went out by himself too.
So, and that matches up, I guess, with, you know, Optimus is the most badass, so he's going to go out on his own. And Bulkhead is definitely, you know, being a former Wrecker, the second most badass. But I like that. I like the whole Bulkhead. He's the only one that Optimus trusts to go out and kind of get it on his own without needing backup. Kind of matches up with the history of what we know about Bulkhead and what he's capable of. But
yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of grimaced a bit when you find out that it's Bulkhead against three Insecticons. I was like, I mean, even kind of knowing how the episode ends, because they led with that.
Yeah,
but right.
Even that, it's just like, oh yeah, these are not good odds. And sure, anybody can at any time get plot armor or anything, but I kind of dug how they ended it with, like, yeah, Bulkhead kind of succeeded in making sure that the Decepticons didn't get the Toxin, but when it came to him going up against, you know, three or four Insecticons by himself, he didn't make it out of the mission in one piece. Like, he looks like he's in bad shape. So, and who knows how that's going to play out, but I like that. Like, he didn't just walk back in. Like, yeah, he accomplished his mission, but he paid a price because of the adversaries he was going up against.
Yeah.
And I like the whole little montage, how Fowler was like, come on, soldier, you've been through worse than this. And it shows a montage of all the crazy crap that he's gone through two seasons worth. And then as it, like, it ends, and Bulkhead's like, nope, not worse than this.
I thought that was going to be a montage moment, and then it wasn't.
Well, it was. I thought he was just going to be like, yeah, you're right. I mean, and they eventually did the whole, like, you know, yeah, I do need to get off my ass and do this for the sake of everybody. But I just love that line where it's like, you've been through so much worse, and it keeps showing, like, he's eating the scraplets, he's got the bomb on him from Dreadwing, and all this stuff, and it cuts back, and Bulkhead's like, nope.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I'm literally holding toxic waste. This is worse.
Yeah, but yeah, it, you know, there's, I don't know if there's much more to say to it than that. But I just liked Bulkhead's portrayal, where, like, there wasn't really much option for him. He had to make a decision, and he did it, and kind of put his life in danger to make sure everybody else was safe, and the weapon didn't fall into the Decepticon hands, and he was willing to sacrifice himself to do that.
I was really enjoying, actually, the montage stuff, and, like, just those little lines of, like, you know, they're like, Miko made it back, and he's like, good girl. I was like, this all feels like the stuff a dude goes through before a show kills him off.
Yeah.
And it's Bulkhead, but Prime has just sufficiently got me on the edge of my seat enough to the point where I'm like, there's kind of a chance they might kill off Bulkhead. There's a tiny little small kind of a chance that might happen. And then they end the episode the exact same cliffhanger, and I was like, you bastards.
Yeah.
I actually don't know how this is going to play out. Like, yeah, incredibly large chance Bulkhead isn't dead. Huge chance. But still, this show has pushed it just close enough to the border for me to feel like if they do kill off Bulkhead, I'll be surprised, but I won't feel it's out of left field.
Yeah.
If. And I'm not saying it certainly is, like, I think a very small chance they'll do that, although I the same time, you know, Kevin Michael Richardson, he's got a lot of work going on, and maybe he needs extra time in his schedule. I don't know. But I also really enjoyed Bulkhead, and I really liked that he was basically like this just long series of absolute awesome hero moments. It made me go like, man, I really want a toy of him. Oh, wait, I already got one. And kind of had a really good feeling for a few seconds. Aaron, how about you? How'd you feel about Bulkhead?
I really, really liked everything he did in this episode. You know, especially his interactions with Fowler a little bit, realizing that kindred spirits and all that. Yeah, I had one kind of nitpick of, if the canister thing will hold the toxin, why didn't he just put the canister thing in his alt mode and drive up? But
it's heavy.
Yeah, it's not needed for the story. But no, I really dug on the fact that it was, you know, Bulkhead being the, you know, this is the mission, and doing this mission is going to keep everybody that I care about safe and protected. So I got to do it. You know, it, burns and hurts and is making me sick to carry this rock of toxin, but nobody else is going to be able to do it or do it better than I am, so I got to be the one to do it.
And he was bleeding out for most of the episode.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
a really cool touch. Like that made me go like, damn, like
taking that hit in the beginning.
Yeah, and he's literally like just bleeding out everywhere. I was like, that's kind of cool. Like it's kind of neat to throw in that little bit. Like in between that and then basically like I was connecting in my head like he has basically a wound open enough to be literally bleeding out, and he's carrying a piece of toxic waste. Like that can't be a good combination either.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, Bulkhead kicked some ass in this episode. I also loved a lot of stuff in this, like you know, leaving the trail of blood to mislead the Insecticons, and like I loved the whole like Bulkhead and Fowler interplay. Like it felt like there wasn't as much lead up to it in the entire series as there could have been. Like there was a little bit of like forced implication of like, oh, Bulkhead, when are you going to respect me? But I thought it played really well, and it was really nice to see Fowler get his like big moment in this four-parter of like that. Like, I guess we'll talk about Fowler on his own. Yeah. But Bulkhead had a big part in me really enjoying Fowler in this episode too.
Yeah, but I had one other point that I just completely spaced. So I'll be quiet now. Yeah, I can't remember.
I gave you the amount of time it took me to eat a potato chip.
Okay. Was it a good potato chip?
Oh, it is.
I remembered what I was going to say. With the way that Bulkhead went through all of this stuff, if this is how he ends up going, it does at least feel like an honorable, noble death, not something that was just thrown out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been the front runner of the who's going to be the one to die of the Prime Forum.
He's been the front runner of who's going to die.
5-6 episodes, at least.
I've been thinking that ever since the end of season one. Like, are they going to kill off Bulkhead after making him so fun? And then watching this episode, I was like, this feels like Code of the Hero almost. Or sorry, right. Code of Hero.
So, you know, and it is something that, you know, if it's done well, I'll be accepting of it. You know, if they give him a... either fight to try and save him and then he passes, or even just a come in after the break and everybody's dealing with it, you know, as long as he doesn't get, you know, movie 3 Ironhided of like, yeah, okay. You know, which I don't think that the Prime writers are going to do. What I could foresee them doing maybe better is Bulkhead has to go in stasis if this is a Kevin Michael Richardson issue. Of he's so messed up from this that he has to detox, and he'll come back as soon as Ratchet's able to get the whatever widget that's necessary, that's their timing deal. I think something like that would also be able to work real well of mm-hmm. keeping Bulkhead out of the picture for a while and making it have impact and not be like Wheeljack of like, he doesn't want to hang out here. So... we're not calling him because, you know, those roaming minutes are a pain.
I had an idea. This is utter speculation. It's just an idea of how things could go, given I don't know what the next episode is called. It'd be really interesting if the next episode is literally a multi-month time jump, and they're like, man, ever since Bulkhead died, because that would make people flip out. But who knows? Aaron, let's move along to another talking point, and I want it to come from you.
Okay. Actually go into the Fowler Bulkhead interplay and even Fowler himself and how he can has cheeseburger.
I liked Fowler being like this, like to just finish off this four parter. Like he was literally the interlink for every other episode popping into this one.
Yeah. This was where all of our hopes of seeing the stuff in other episodes as they're calling into Fowler. You realize that maybe they should have dealt with it themselves. Because Fowler's dealing with heavier stuff.
Because
he does have one moment where he really lays into, I think it was the Jack and Miko part of having to talk to Vogel about whatever. He's like, "What? No! And more important stuff's going on here. What's going on? Yeah, you're a special deputy, whatever." And then gets back to Bulkhead, and Bulkhead's like, "You put me on hold?"
Yeah, that whole part of him saying, "I've got a situation here," was in that episode, if I recall correctly. It's really cool to see that actually, like, that actually was a situation. that was like the most situation there could be. It was really cool, and it made it again really pumped me up about Fowler being like this great positive human presence in the show. Of like, dude is friggin' capable. He was practically field commanding, like, multiple operations to some degree.
All at once.
It was really cool. I was like, man, yeah. Now I'm stuck, though, in that position of, like, man, I want a Fowler action figure. Chances of getting that in the proper style are dead zero, but fingers crossed. Ernie Hudson, man. That dude can do some good stuff.
Yeah.
Props. Gog, how'd you feel about Fowler?
No, he was great. That I can ask cheeseburger line. I was like, that's a little. I think they could have come up with something a little clever in that, but it wasn't offensive or anything. But no, I agree. I like how, like in this episode, it really just showed the behind the scenes on how all the how simultaneously all the other episodes were happening. Mm-hmm. So it was great. It was something specific that I really enjoyed in that whole...
Fowler once again dropped his army credentials.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that, I agree with Aaron. I thought that was cool, the whole him kind of sharing this moment with Bulkhead. And again, mm-hmm. that even led into, like... And I didn't believe for a second that this was actually going to be, like, a Bulkhead death episode. But, man, like, they were definitely playing all the cards. Like, because he's doing his montage. He keeps thinking back to Miko. Him and Fowler bonding, and Fowler's, you know, talking him through it as a fellow soldier, and you know, all that stuff. And but the I can't remember. There was something specific about that whole scene. But if I think about it later, I'll bring
it up. Not tucked in since boot camp.
Let me eat this potato chip. Mmm.
Nope, still nothing. Help?
Damn it!
Nope.
I was hoping that could become a hard science, because then I'd have an excuse to eat potato chips.
Take my lollipop.
Yeah, please, can we, like, I know you guys are pretty much done with those human figures, but yo, Hasbro, at least can you throw in a Fowler figurine for me somewhere? I kind of need one. And again... I love how Fowler went from being this character I thought I was gonna like put up with in the show, and how he's gone on to become like this really like this character I actually enjoy seeing on screen. Like I'm legit happy about that.
Yeah,
I mean it's always nice to have a human character in a Transformers show that you get like excited about, or at least you're not upset to see getting screen time. And I feel like. To say I'm not upset to see Fowler getting a screen time is now an understatement at this point. Like, I really dig this dude. I guess moving on from there, let's briefly talk just about the concept of Tox-N. Really, I don't know if it's a pun or a portmanteau, so I don't know how I feel about the name. But I did kind of find it funny how, like, when they said Tox-N, they didn't just go Tox-N. They were like, Tox-N! And I was like, oh, man. You guys,
well, I figured it was just because they've done synthen.
Yeah.
So synthen is short for synthetic energon. So Tox-N is short for toxic energon.
Toxic energon.
Mm-hmm. The cadence on how it was said was just specific enough to kind of make me blink sometimes.
Yeah, there were a couple times they held that pause just a bit long.
I'd kind of be going like, "All right, I get it. It's not toxin. It's Tox-N." But I like the concept of it. I love that somewhat horrific little bit of imagery of, like, the squad Bulkhead once saw get wiped out by the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. Because I love how Prime will say something is threatening, then they'll illustrate it, like, just to hammer it home. So it's not like, no, trust me, it's nasty. It's like, no, trust me, it's nasty. Like, we even got that in a delayed sort of fashion with the Scraplets when they, like, ate the Insecticon from the inside out. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
That's why they're afraid of him. Okay. And I mean, Tox-N, it makes sense. It's chemical warfare. It feels totally at home in this universe, doubly so when they referenced War for Cybertron, or, you know, the War for Cybertron, TM. It seemed like a great addition. I don't think it's really kludged. It seems odd that it's on par with the quote-unquote relics, but I think, like, as a piece of warfare technology, it makes total sense. And I got to share a sentiment I saw on Twitter. That upcoming Prime toy, the Wheeljack repaint with the new head, when they say that he's like messed up from exposure to Dark Energon, someone on Twitter, I forgot who, said that they really wished that it was exposure to Toxen. And I was like, I think I'm just going to pretend it is.
Yeah.
Because that it's way too suitable. And I hope Toxen can, you know, and Synthen and all these other things can make a return here and there to just feel like they are an existing piece of tech and not something that was invented for an episode. Because I think that they are solid concepts overall. And robot nausea. I don't even want to imagine what that's like. I don't know. How did you guys feel about Toxen, Gog?
It was all right. I mean, as far as it's like with the whole icon things. It's like, why would they just jettison that out onto a planet? Because I mean, Bulkhead was just able to just pop the top off like a jar. Like that was probably not a good idea.
Yeah, especially with it being horribly toxic.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like.
Maybe if they at least wrote it on the jar, like, this is Toxen, do not open.
Yeah, little Mr. Yuck face on it.
Like, I can get the hammer, you know, because that's like some crazy artifact that has powers and they would want to hide it. I can get some of these other devices. It's like, yeah, you know, here's some devices and we can go back and pick these up later, but kind of just sending out this biological warfare weaponized weapon. I don't know.
it didn't feel like it was on. Like, I think bringing up the hammer is a great point. It felt weird that a jar of toxic waste was on the same tier as like a relic of the original 13.
Yeah,
I was kind of like because I dig Toxen, but I almost felt like it would have been better in its own episode and not like in a position to be placed on the same level as like the other stuff we saw. Like the
I didn't mind it. I thought it was a good plot device. It actually worked into the story. It wasn't just another crazy invention by some unnamed Autobot or Decepticon inventor. Like it was a substance that, I don't know. Like I didn't hate it at all. It was just the whole it being part of the icon, and I'm not even trying to get tripped up on it. It was something that occurred to me while I was thinking about it. But
it's worth pointing out. It is weird that it's on the same level as this other stuff plot wise. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I almost wonder if these are just coordinates on MapQuest for Transformers. Not necessarily. These are the all sacred relics.
Aaron, we call it Google Maps nowadays. FYI. Yeah.
Okay.
What's a map quest?
Yeah. It's kind of like TomTom.
That's kind of like Netscape.
Yeah. You don't use Netscape?
No, I don't.
But that could be the argument that they're not all necessarily relics. It was just the first couple were relics, so that's the assumption they made to be the defense of the writers. It's just as easy to say they wanted something to be a plot. And so, there you go.
Yeah. Do we have any forum threads about Toxen yet?
No, there's a whole lot of wondering if Synthen is going to show up, but nothing specifically Toxen.
Well, a lot of people do like the color blue more than the color green.
Yeah. Especially that was like the putrid rolling green, not just like it's a verdant green, it's a sickly green.
And I want to say again, too, like, another reason why Toxen, I think, really worked in this episode and really added to it was when Bulkhead was just friggin' bludgeoning dudes with it. Or, like pushing Hardshell's face into this horrifying toxic stuff. Or, I'm just seeing the clip now, when he's trying to, like, jam it up his throat. I'm like, that's rough, and I like it.
Yeah. Well, the one Insecticon, he just kind of did the Thor's hammer, hold on to this for me.
He stuffed it into him, pretty much. Like, that.
Yeah.
Like this is like that, and I love how they really played off of that, the whole backstory of it. It's like, yeah, horrifically, corrosively, like contaminative toxic waste was just rammed into that organism. It is barely able to breathe now. I like that a lot. And it also kind of just it made me think of stuff like, you know, in The Rock, that movie The Rock, when the the dude gets, you know, they set off the little glass poison bombs or whatever, and then the dude, like, you know, his eyes start melting or whatever, and you know, that whatever it was that they did to the dude in The Rock when he gets locked in the room with the poison gas.
With the VX?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Nerve Rock Agent. In, like, years. I just remember it being really gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, good on you guys for Toxin. I dig it. I'd carry a nugget of that around because I'm not a robot, so I wouldn't get sick. I hope. Gog, have you got any other talking points you'd like to bring up for this episode?
Not really. The only thing that I just noticed, I'm sure a bunch of other people noticed it long before, but all four of these episodes that are all connected all began with the letter T.
Yep.
Yep.
So, I don't know why I didn't notice that sooner, but I wonder, was there, like, is there any significance to the letter T other than, I mean, they all shared it, but I was trying to, I was trying to think about why they would do that, or if it was just a coincidence, or probably not a coincidence, but then I couldn't actually think of why the letter T would be significant.
When I think T, maybe I think three.
Yeah, I wonder if it was maybe just a writer's room thing of two episodes or maybe three episodes prospectively were T, and so then they just came up with another one to line them up.
Triage sounds like the one that they came up with at the end.
Yeah. Because that's like Beast Wars and the Vok episodes are all OV name of the episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I never noticed that.
It's like Other Voices.
That's the first one I thought of, and I couldn't think of the other ones. Outer Verminutions.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure if
other
there was
victories.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
sure if there was a meaning behind the T, they'll say it on the DVDs at least. But yeah, I was trying to figure it out too because I was like. I mean, T for Tetra? I don't know. T for Transformers? Well, it's something that I'm sure we can find out. That is the kind of question that I'm sure not only would be asked at a panel, but would probably be welcomed because it's not a hard question to answer, I would assume.
Other visits. Other victories. Sorry, I had to go to TFWiki. Because it was going to bug me.
Other victories. Other visits. Outer Voices. Ominous Voluptions. Aaron, have you got any other talking points you'd like to bring up?
Oh, not terribly. This episode was pretty straightforward. It's one where, like, before I had the issue where the episode had no B-plot whatsoever, and it seemed like it dragged, but this one definitely didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they filled out that extra area. Maybe the B story is Fowler and Bulkhead's kind of banter and relating back and forth.
Fowler's the B story, if anything, is the B story.
Yeah, and I mean they filled out the kind of slower times in the episode that I think Prime's episode kind of lagged in.
I felt incredibly engaged by this episode.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying it, and granted, part of it was because they were, you know, as Gog said, they were playing all the cards that one might play when you're going to go like, hey, maybe we're going to kill this character off. And
yeah,
Prime being as Prime has been, I was sitting there going like, oh, they're not going to kill him off, right? Right?
Right.
That's kind of. I was really into it, and I agree. I thought that this episode was simple but flowed in a nice, effective way. Like, it was... is getting things across, and it definitely even had, like, just in case the episode did slow down here and there, it had the new candy of David Kay and Hardshell, which if that was something that would distract me from the episode slowing down at all, it sufficiently did so, because I was craving Hardshell scenes. I was like, yes, give me more delicious David Kay. I am cool with that. If that were a candy, I would buy a bag of it. Yeah, I felt good about this one. I'm thinking about complaints people might have, and I'm sure a complaint has come up that And I personally feel, you know, of two minds about it, but I overall I was okay with it that the episode did end with the identical cliffhanger of the previous episode. Like, that this episode was a really cool episode, but it also didn't actually answer the question of, like, did Bulkhead survive? It just said, okay, here's how he got the smoking hole in his back. So,
yeah.
Chill out for you know, 4+ weeks, and then we'll tell you if he's alive or not. Although I'm sure the moment we get a teaser, it'll probably blow something.
Right.
So we'll know. But, I mean, overall, though, I felt really good about this episode, and I thought it was a great way to cap off the four-parter by tying it all together in a certain way.
Yeah.
Aaron, you were saying something.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is something that was very good about all of Fowler's interactions of bringing all those pieces together at once.
Yeah. And I also thought it was kind of cool that, like, in order to not have to double up on voice credits, they just had him do it all over the phone.
Yeah.
So it was all Fowler's end, so this would just be...
Just all one way?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, we're going to hear John DiMaggio again? Nope. Oh, okay. Gog, how did you feel about the episode overall?
It was good. It was simple. They tied in all the other episodes nicely, I think, in between the little segments where it showed all the human stuff at the base from all the previous stuff. That was all really well done. I think it was very tasteful. The episode kept it simple. It was basically Bulkhead versus three Insecticons, one of them being even more badass, and he was carrying something around that he was able to use both as a weapon, but was also slowly killing him. And I'd say aside from maybe one of the Insecticons kind of just going out a little bit easy like a punk, which could still be fairly easily explained away with the toxin. Overall, I really dug the episode. I'm a fan of the Insecticons, with the exception of Armada Insecticons.
Well, luckily they're extinct.
Yeah. So let's hope so.
You know, they all got shot down. That's how I'm playing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All the Armada Insecticons got shot down. That's one.
No. They all got shot down, and the ones who didn't all crashed into the same tree.
Yeah. No, remember, he missed it, but he missed the tree by a couple inches, remember?
Oh, right, sorry. They all flew near the same tree and subsequently crashed into each other.
Yeah.
Fatally.
No, it was an enjoyable episode. It was a good way to end the whole relic thing. Now, eyes to the future to see where it goes. Obviously, the most immediate thing they're going to have to deal with is Bulkhead, which I assume will probably be resolved fairly quickly, I'd say in the very next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But from here on out, I'd like to think that, because, like, and as I've stated before, like, season 2 of Prime has been entirely revolving around the relics. Like, even the Orion Pack stuff was around the relics. And here they just straight up went into a five episode, if you count Flying Mines, arc about the importance of locating these relics. And, I thought the four episode arc was really clever in the way that they did it, but it's like, what is Prime going to be about now? I'd like to see them become a little more focused on something cool. Hopefully see Mech return with a newfangled Silas. I think as an episode by itself, it was well done. It was it didn't reach too far. The character moments were great, and I really like the introduction of Hard Shell. So Now I'm just curious to see where the series is going to go after this.
And I'm really curious, too, because that was episode 15 of season 2, if I'm counting correctly. And that means, like, if this is a 26-episode season, we have 11 episodes left. And if they're taking a break, I can totally see that. Again, we learned at New York Comic Con that the timelines on when episodes were being done for season 1 were obscenely tight. And I certainly have no problem with the show taking a mid-season break if that means that they can catch up and take their time building up the next few episodes and...
Right.
Keeping them polished. And I also agree that, I mean, season 2 so far, like, especially at the end of this episode, it felt like season two was this kind of like growing little arms race in various respects, even down to Arachnid, like getting a hold of the Insecticons briefly, Mech getting a hold of Project Chimera and all kinds of extra Transformers bits, Mech having literally breakdown's entire body. Like, it feels like they've set up something, they're taking a break, and I hope that when they come back, it's going to be, all right, what are all these different elements going to do with these things that they've collected for the first chunk of the season?
Right.
And I agree. I hope it goes somewhere like that. If the first episode is a little bit slower, maybe it's something languid, maybe it's a little bit, Bulkhead-centric on whatever happens with him. I'm cool with that, too. I just hope the overall tone of the season does pick up within the next, three or four episodes, because I'd like for the final eight episodes to just be, boss. And we'll see what happens. But they've definitely set up a good, solid base. Now it's just a question of, are they going to continue setting stuff up, or are they going to really enact on some of what's been set up in season
right.
two? That also means that we have a prime time break for an indeterminate amount of time, which is a little bit relaxing. Although, this is the last week my school schedule is this completely nuts. But, we will be back as soon as Prime comes back. That much is for sure. I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out. Fingers crossed that it's all good stuff. I guess we'll know come July what's up with Prime, I'm going to assume. So, unless there's anything else to be said, I think that's all we've got on toxicity. Aside from, if you haven't heard the System of a Down song, do check it out. It's interesting. I'm trying to think if I have anything else I wanted to add, but...
You get to eat your potato chip as a timer device.
I ran out of potato chips. Should I be taking that as a sign?
Probably.
Okay. They were a General Tao chicken flavored potato chips by President's Choice, FYI.
What? What kind of...
General this is... Tao chicken potato chips.
Not Tao, but Tao?
General. Well, I could say General Tao.
Okay.
It was very, slightly sweetened chicken flavor with a little bit of spice.
You Canadians and your weird ketchup flavor chips.
No, this is all President's Choice. They have like a Smokin' Stampede barbecue flavor. They have a Greek feta and olive flavor. When you come up for TFCon, I'm going to bring you some mother flippin' bags of President's Choice. I'm going to show you some of this stuff.
Yeah, we did that again last year, wasn't it? Like the
This isn't something mundane like ketchup chips. This is like
No. We had what was it? It was the fully dressed chips.
No, that's also ketchup and all dressed are traps because they sound exotic. Honestly, they're not all that exotic. President's Choice is exotic even for a Canadian, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Like I will bring some of this stuff. It's always on sale because they make so much of it. This is way off topic, so I'm gonna bring us down to a close here for now. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. Prime time will return when Prime returns. That was Gog Dog and Aaron and me. Thank you, gentlemen, once again. And until the indeterminate break is over, we are a Prime out!
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.